Amen. You may be seated, and if you would, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. And we're doing a series on the cry of the cross. There are actually seven cries that were made from the cross by the Lord Jesus himself. And one of the things I ask God to help me with is to always maintain a humble spirit and always to put my faith in the blood of the cross. If you will put your faith in Calvary's blood and realize it's not by works. Now, we're to live holy. Don't get me wrong there. But it's nothing we can do to save ourselves except to plunge beneath the flood. Hallelujah. Calvary's blood. And when we do that, believe in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, we're saved. And the preaching of the cross is the power of God to salvation. Whatever you need from God, if you can just apprehend it by faith in the cross, it's yours. It's just that simple. But we're reading from Luke chapter 23, verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, truly I say unto thee, today shall thou be with me in paradise. We're doing a series of messages on the cry of the cross. And once again tonight, we have come to Calvary. Seven times Jesus cries from the cross. First of all, he spoke to the Father on behalf of others. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was providing eternal salvation for the whole world there. Secondly, he spoke to the thief on the cross and promised him heaven. This thief, he was dying, and he needed salvation at that moment. Then thirdly, he spoke to John, and he provided for his mother. So what I want you to see is still, he's on the cross, but the daylight is still there. In a few moments, darkness is going to cover the entire planet. And at that moment, the fourth cry that comes from the cross is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Son has been made sin, and now God can no longer look on his Son. He can no longer call him Father. But we'll see he recovers, amen. All right, the fourth cry is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Fifthly, he speaks to the spectators, and he cries, I thirst. Then sixthly, he spoke to heaven and earth, and he cried, it is finished. That was not a cry of desperation. That was a cry of triumph. Hallelujah. It was not a weak cry. It was a strong cry. He had done what the Father had sent him to do. He had taken our sins upon himself. He had bore them off. Peter said, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. He's provided everything. And now, He speaks to the Father again, and he says, Father, he has the Father's approval. He's been made sin, but he's paid redemption's price. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. So my message tonight is the cry of the cross, part two. Today shall thou be with me in paradise. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the cross. Thank you, Lord, that everything we will ever need, Lord, if we can only see Jesus and we can only understand the work of the cross, we can apprehend the blessings that he paid for by faith in Calvary's blood, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by your own grace. Lord, it's amazing grace. It's your grace that provides for our every need. And we come tonight asking you, Lord, to roll back the curtain, the veil, and let us see clearly the work of the cross. We love you, Lord, and we praise you and thank you, Holy Ghost, for revelation knowledge. And everyone said in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Once again, we come to Calvary. Calvary, the most sacred place on planet Earth. Calvary, where the Son of God died so that the sons of men could become sons of God. Calvary, where angels wept and the devils rejoiced. Calvary, where the sins of the whole world were placed upon him who knew no sin. Calvary, where sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilt and shame. Calvary, where you and I can come and receive life, peace, joy, and hope. Thank God for Calvary. I praise God for the cross. I'm so thankful for the cross because it was at the cross where we first saw the light. Hallelujah. Thank God for the light. Now, in his first sermon, we saw the first sermon this morning that Pastor Ricky preached, we saw Jesus as he's praying from the cross. And he's not praying for himself. He's praying for others. He's praying for those who were crucifying him. And he's praying, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Now, two other men appear on the scene. Point number one is, we see the clearest picture of salvation by grace in all the Bible. On both sides of Jesus on the cross, lifted against the sky, there hung two thieves. These two men are guilty, and they deserve to die. Here we see three crosses and three men who are dying. And one of the thieves cries out and he rails on Jesus and said, if you are the Christ, then save yourself and save us. And the other thief, he cries out and says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Hallelujah. So we see what's going on with these two men. Secondly, I want you to listen to the two types of prayers that are prayed, because these two types of prayers will determine your salvation. It will determine whether you spend eternity in heaven or whether you spend eternity in the horrors of hell. Both of these men prayed, but it was what they prayed that counted. Look at Luke 23:39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. This man did not want to be saved from his sins. He wanted to be saved so he could continue in his sin. Save me, Jesus, so I can steal again. Save me, Jesus, from this awful pain. Save me, Jesus, from this terrible suffering. Notice what sin had done to his life. Sin always brings suffering. Sin will kill you because the wages of sin is death. Sin will kill your home. Sin will kill your marriage. Sin will kill your relationships. Sin will kill your finances. Sin will kill your influence. Sin is devastating. Sin has devastating effects. And if you practice sin, no matter who you are, no matter what you do, the wages of sin is death. And if you die in your sins, you will go to an eternal hell and burn forever and ever and ever. But thank God we don't have to go there, because all we have to do is cry out and say, God, save me. Mean it from our heart and quit practicing sin. You know, the Bible says he that commits sin is of the devil. The Bible says he that is of God committed not sin. That means he does not practice sin. If you're in a relationship, if you're in anything, if you are sinning, let me tell you something, then sin will separate you from God. And if you keep sinning and you go and sin long enough, sin will devastate your life. I grew up in the church and I was heard the gospel preached, and I said, I don't want to live that. I'll just go my own way. I'll do my own thing. And I did. And I did it for a long, long time. And I was 37 years of age when I wanted to get saved, when I decided this thing is not working for me. I need a Savior. And let me tell you something. It took the blood of Jesus to break some chains. I'll tell you what the devil does. He starts out, he makes it look good, but the devil is a stripper. He'll strip you of everything. He'll take everything that's good from your life, and he'll promise you something, and he can never deliver. I've got a sermon I've never preached. The devil can't deliver. I promise you, the devil can't deliver. It's not his nature to deliver. Only Jesus can deliver, and Jesus will break every chain of darkness. But I tell you, you got to come to God, and you got to mean business from your heart. You cannot sin and win. Hallelujah. Thank God that we don't have to live in sin. We can be free from sin. Amen. Sin drove this man to be punished. But why was he being punished? Because his heart had been hardened by sin. He's suffering the penalty of his sin because his sin had caught up with him. I promise you, whatever is done in darkness, it will be revealed in the light. That's the principle of God. It's the law of God. And so we got people, they come to church and they sing and they shout and then they live contrary to God's word. I'm a preacher of the gospel. God didn't send me to tickle your fancy. God didn't send me to please you. God sent me to preach the word of God. And I'm here to tell you under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the devil will strip you. The devil will take from you. The devil is a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But if you're going to have the more abundant life that Jesus promised, you'll have to get free from sin. Knowing this, that the old man of sin is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Why, Paul? That henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is free from sin. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, but stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's why I'm preaching truth tonight. The devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. And sin will kill you. Sin will kill me. Sin will destroy you. But thank God there's liberty in Christ, and God's Son, Jesus Christ, pour out his precious blood so we could be free from sin. You don't have to be a slave to sin. Thank God he broke every chain, broke every shackle. Hallelujah. I could go back in sin, but I have no desire to because I know sin destroys. Can I get a witness? Can I get a praise? Can I get a glory? Can I get a hallelujah? Because God frees you from sin. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's the word right there. But I want you to notice this man. He's like a lot of people in the world today. He's like a lot of people in church. He's close to Christ, and he needs a Savior. He's close, but he hasn't gotten there. He doesn't want to be saved from his sin. He wants to be saved so he can be spared to continue in his sins. And that's the type of remorse that never brings salvation. It cannot bring salvation. Look at 2 Corinthians 7 and 10. Paul, the apostle, he talks about the sorrow that brings salvation. He said, For godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation not to be repented of. Worldly sorrow worketh death. What does that mean? It simply means that godly sorrow brings no regret, nothing left to be repented of. It brings salvation. Worldly sorrow, the fact I got caught, it brings absolutely no salvation. The person who prays with worldly sorrow, they're not sorry for their sins. They are sorry because of their present condition. Do you know people like that? They're sorry because of what sin has done and the condition of sin and what it has brought into their life. Amen. Their sins have caught up with them. They have no godly sorrow for their sin. They have no tears of true repentance toward God. Oh, we got churches full of them. We got people sitting in churches that have never had godly sorrow. They're not any more born again than the man in the moon. I had people tell me, said, you're a Christian. I said, no, if you're a Christian, you got to get out of sin. I'm a sinner. I live in sin. I practice sin. They said, anybody believes what you believe about the Bible, you're a Christian. I said, no, it's one thing to believe. It's another thing to receive. And if you've not received him as your personal Savior, if your sins haven't been washed away by Calvary's blood, you are yet in your sins. You can sit in church all you want to and say, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. That's like sitting in the garage and saying, I'm an automobile, I'm an automobile, I'm an automobile. That will never make you an automobile. But I'll tell you what will make you a Christian. Get up, come to Calvary's cross, cry out to God in true repentance, and God will save your lost, sin-sick soul. And that's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There are a lot of people that are sorry that their sins have caught up with them. They're like the thief on the cross. They love their sin. They want to be saved so they can continue in their sins. And churches of America, they're full of people just like that. That's why I'm preaching this way tonight. I want to equip you that when you go out and people tell you that they're a Christian, like the man that told me one night, he said, I'm a Christian. Come in my office. He was a salesman, wanted to sell me some stuff. I said, you are? And we talked about it. And I went to the grocery store that night, and I just happened to meet him, you know, and he's telling me all about Jesus. And by that time, one of his friends drives up. And I said, the friend said, are you living with so-and-so now? He said, H, no. I got rid of that B a long time ago. I got someone else I'm living with now. And the guy drives off. I said, I thought you said you were Christian. He said, I did say I'm a Christian. I am a Christian, and you're judging me. I said, no, I'm not judging you. God's word has already judged you. You're a sinner. You're on your way to a devil's hell, and you need somebody to tell you that. You need to be born again, and you need to depart from that type of activity. Give your heart to God. Marry somebody if you need to, and then live together. Hallelujah. Get married. Get things in order. God says that the marriage bed is holy and undefiled. Whoremongers and adulterers, God said, I will judge. Have you heard preaching like this lately? It's the kind of stuff that the church world needs. It's the kind of stuff the people out there in the world need. They need to know that there's a hell. Hell is real. And we don't want to go there. We don't want anybody to go there. We want everybody to repent of their sin, come to know Jesus, and be free indeed. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I'm free. I'm so glad he broke every chain off of my life. Am I tempted? You better believe it. Are you going to be tempted the rest of your life? As long as you're on this planet, nobody's wearing halos, and we're all going to be tempted. But thank God for Calvary's blood. It will free you from every sin. Worldly sorrow brings no salvation at all. But listen to the cry of the repentant heart. Listen to this. I call it the cry of faith. Listen to this second thief and how he prays. Luke 23:40. But the other answering, rebuking him, said, doth not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? In other words, we're under the same type of punishment. And we indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds. But this man had done nothing amiss. He's done nothing wrong. That, my friend, is godless sorrow. This second thief, he said, I make no excuses. I'm guilty. I have sinned. But Lord, remember me. Have you ever been to the cross like that? If not, why not? Listen to his prayer. Now, Luke 23:42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He makes no excuses. He only asks for mercy. Mercy says, Lord, I'm sorry. It says, Lord, I have messed up, but Lord, have mercy and give me a second chance. Give me another chance, Lord. Lord, save me. And remember me when you come into your kingdom. Have you ever wondered, or do you ever wonder about your own salvation? You know, I try to live the best I can, but I'm human. But I'm always telling the Lord, Lord, I want to make heaven my eternal home. I know I'm surrounded by a world of sin, but Lord, and I'm human, I've got flesh, but God, I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to know you. I want to walk with you. I want you to be my master. I want you to guide me. I want you to direct me. I want you to teach me and talk to me and show me the things that I have done and the things I need to do. And God, if there's any wicked way in me, like the psalmist prayed, oh God, show it to me and remove it from me. I want to make heaven my eternal home. We need to get serious about this thing. This is a great salvation. My God, help us, Lord. Three men, three crosses. One man, he is dying in his sins. The other man is dying to sin. And the third man on the center cross, his name is Jesus. He's the Son of God. And he's dying for the sins of the whole world. And one of the thieves cries out and said unto him, Jesus, Lord. I like that. Jesus, Lord. Woo! I love that. Jesus, Lord. Say it with me. Jesus, Lord. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He knew he was a sinner. And just like Isaiah, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, this thief, just like Isaiah saw himself, he also saw himself. And he knew, I'm a man. Unclean lips. I'm an unclean man. I'm undone. And when he saw himself in the light of God's glory, he cries out for salvation and he repents of his sins. This thief, when he saw the innocence of Christ and that he was the Son of God, and when he got that revelation, he said, "Lord, remember me." Let me tell you something. Jesus asked his disciples one day, he said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they answered, one says Jeremiah, and another one John the Baptist, or Elijah. Jesus said, "But who do you say I am?" And Peter spoke up and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus looked at him and said, "Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." Let me tell you, if you have ever seen Jesus Christ as the Son of God, if you've ever had an encounter where you received him as your Lord through faith in the Calvary's cross, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. Your Father, which is in heaven, he revealed that to you. Hallelujah. Because God loves us and God cares for us. Hallelujah. This man knew he was a sinner. When he saw himself, he saw his need of redemption. Amen. Jesus had prayed from the sin cross the prayer of forgiveness. "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Wonder what it was when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Was it his eloquence? No. It was the prayer Jesus prayed on the cross. What is it today when preachers preach? And people get saved. He chose the foolishness of preaching to save people. It was the prayer that Jesus prayed on the cross. And it was the work of the Holy Spirit. It was not the eloquence. Paul said, "I didn't come with eloquence." He said, "I came in power and demonstrations of the Holy Ghost." And Jesus prayed that prayer. And when he prayed it for those on the day of Pentecost. He prayed it for the millions that would come down through the ages. He prayed it for you and me. And if he should tarry, he prayed it for everyone that will come to the cross. Jesus prayed from the center cross, and he prayed the prayer of forgiveness. And now we hear the prayer of faith from the other cross. And this man, his prayer was a prayer of daring faith. He did not pray, "Remember me if you come into your kingdom." But he prayed, and he prayed in faith, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." That was a prayer of such daring faith that it received an immediate answer. And Jesus responded, "Today shall you be with me in paradise." Hallelujah. Jesus gave him the assurance that life goes on. Jesus let him know that death cannot stop me and death cannot stop you. For today you shall be with me in paradise. I'm here to tell you, it didn't stop Jesus and it cannot stop you. Hallelujah. It cannot stop me. Jesus gave him the full assurance of fellowship. He said, "I'll never leave you later or earlier," but he said, "Today shall you be with me in paradise." He's promised to be with us no matter what we're going through. Then he gave him the assurance of heaven. "Today shall you be with me in paradise." Hallelujah. "Since childhood I heard of a heaven. I wondered if it could be true. If there could be mansions eternal up there somewhere in the blue. I wonder, do people really go there? Then one day sweet Jesus came in. I caught a vision of heaven. My soul with all heaven did blend. Heaven, happy home above. Heaven, land of peace and love. Oh, it makes me feel like traveling on. Heaven eternal. Heaven supernal. I'm so glad that it's real. One day heaven's gates are gonna swing open. Redeemed of all ages shall see the throne of God sending rays of glory and a mansion prepared for you and me. The tree of life stands by the crystal river. Sainted mother saved by God's redeeming grace. With all the other loved ones gone before us. Won't heaven be a wonderful place? Heaven, mother would sing. Happy home above. Daddy would say, heaven, she'd say. Land of peace and love. Oh, it makes me feel like traveling on. Heaven, she'd say, eternal. Daddy would sing, heaven, she'd say, supernal. Well, I'm so glad that it's real. Yes, I'm so glad that it's real. Aren't you glad your name's in the book tonight? Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. See, we don't have to wait for forgiveness, and we do not have to wait for salvation, because faith is always now. Look at Hebrews 11 and 1. Yeah. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I've got now faith, amen, in God's word. But we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So when you believe now, faith says it's so. When it's not so, so it can be so because God said it's so. Amen. That's my definition of faith. Faith says it's so. When it's not so, so it can be so because God said it so. If I'll just get my life lined up with this book, I can have all the promises. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Jesus said, truly, I say unto you, today shall you be with me in paradise. Point number three. Salvation is by grace alone. Amen. We see here a picture of salvation on this cross, these crosses by grace alone. Salvation begins and began in the heart of God. Before the world began, it was God's purpose for that thief to meet Jesus on the cross so he could be saved. Think of the thousands of people that come through the doors, millions of the churches, and it's God's purpose for them to meet Jesus and to be saved. God had purpose that day for that man. See, there are no accidents with God. God was presiding over the entire scene. From eternity past, he had decreed that all of this would happen. Pilate gave the order, crucify Jesus between two thieves. He did not know that he was putting God's plan into action. 700 years before, Isaiah had prophesied and said the Messiah, that he would be numbered among the transgressors. That was an unlikely thing. But that a holy one who flung the stars out, spoke the worlds into existence, that he would die between two thieves. Who would ever have thought that? But it happened just like God said it would. And any principle in this book, it will happen just like God says it. We cannot change what God has said. All we can do is get our faith lined up with what the Lord has proclaimed through his word. Throughout his ministry, Jesus had been a friend to the sinner. The Pharisee said, why? He sits and he eats and drinks with sinners. He's a friend to the sinner. Aren't you glad? I'm so glad that Jesus is a friend to the sinner. Amen. The Pharisees ridiculed him for it. But he says, I have come to save sinners. And I have come to give my life a ransom for all. And so he's hanging there between two thieves. And one of them cries out, Lord, remember me. In faith, he cries out to the Savior. And Jesus assures him of a place in heaven. This man was not a good man. He had lived a sinful life. But he was saved simply because of God's amazing grace. Look at this. It's God's grace that saves us. Look at Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Today, we were having lunch at my home. Sophie was there. And we were talking about the Lord's Prayer. And she's got it. She's got it memorized. She can tell you where it is. She can tell you word for word what it says. She got her money, and then Tisa gave her another reward. Hallelujah. But I said, you know, Sophie, I said, we've all sinned. I said, there's a cookie thief in all of us. I said, you're only 5 years old, but you know you've sinned, don't you, Sophie? I said, and you know, you've stolen those cookies that Mama said you shouldn't get those cookies. Then Anderson, he speaks up and says, she did something worse than that. I said, oh, she did a big sin. And then Sophie, I love you so much, but here's what Sophie says. She says, I'm a good child and I'm going to heaven. See what the devil will do? He tries to get it to works. A five-year-old child, and the devil's trying to convince her, if you'll be good, you'll get to heaven. For look at Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We don't do good works to get saved. We do good works because we are saved. Hallelujah. But a five-year-old child, the devil is trying to con that little child and to get her to put her faith in her good work. Sophie, you are a good little girl, and Dad, Grand Jury loves you, but put your faith in Calvary's cross. You're going to make heaven your eternal home. Grand Jury's praying for you. Tisa's praying for you. Mother and Dad is praying for you. The whole church is praying for you. We're praying for the young people in here. But young people, I want you to know something. You're not saved by being good. You are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're saved by the work of the cross, not by works, lest any man should boast. Go on and praise God for this great salvation. Hallelujah. Grace planned salvation. Grace provided salvation. And grace made this man want to receive salvation. Grace begins and grace continues. And grace alone guarantees our salvation. If you're saved and if you go to heaven, it will be because of God's amazing grace. The songwriter said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to feel, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did his grace appear the hour I first believed. Do you want to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah. Believe Jesus took your sins in his own body. Believe he bore them off at Calvary's cross, and you will be saved. Hallelujah. For he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Hallelujah. You can get an audience with God if you come through the blood of Calvary's cross. Hallelujah. You cannot work your way into heaven. You cannot earn your way into heaven. Salvation is a gift of God, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, period. Hallelujah. Some people, they think that they're saved by their good moral life. Some people think we're saved by our service to God. This man had none of these things. So we know that salvation comes through the grace of a sovereign God. Hallelujah. Some people think that we're saved by religious ceremony, but this thief was never baptized. We're not saved by water baptism. It is an outward expression of an inward work that has already taken place. Water baptism could never wash away your sins. It takes the precious blood of Jesus to wash away our sins. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing, 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 nothing but the blood of Jesus. For you are not redeemed of corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation or your past lifestyle, but by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. Thank God. It took holy blood. It took pure blood. It took the blood of God. And Jesus, the Son of God, he paid for our salvation with his own precious blood. Hallelujah. This thief was never baptized in water. But Jesus said unto him, today shall you be with me in paradise. He never partook of the Lord's Supper. He never joined the church. He never observed any religious ceremony, and he never did any good works, yet he was saved. Some religions say you must go to purgatory and burn for a while, and then you can enter into heaven. But Jesus told this man, today shall you be with me in paradise. Some people say, well, everybody will be saved. But Jesus did not tell both these men they would go to heaven. He only told the one who believed, he only told the one who repented that he could be saved. Some have tried to convince us that the human race is headed nowhere, and that man has no destiny, and that we're all in a cycle. Well, if man has no destiny, he has no duty. If he has no destiny, he has no obligation. If he has no destiny, he has no responsibility. If a man has no destiny, he has no guidelines, he has no goals. And who is it to say what is right and what is wrong if man has no destiny? Who is to say you cannot abort a baby if man has no destiny? That's what the humanistic world would tell us. That's what those left-wingers want to tell us, that it doesn't matter what you do. If there are no absolutes, then there are no principles, there are no ethics, and there are no morals, and there are no standards. How foolish that a man could get a Ph.D. and teach in a college and say something that ignoramus, that there is no standard and that morals don't matter. It does matter how you live your life. It does matter what you do. It does matter what I do. It does matter what we say. Amen. You've got one life and I've got one life. And the world around us, they need some role models. They need some preachers that will stand up and preach the word of God. I know we're saved in here, but you know, we all have to, I think everybody in here is saved tonight. You know, we see you come and go, but you know, we need to make sure that our call and our election is sure. We need to make sure that everything is under the blood. Because if the devil will come and lie to a little five-year-old and say, you're okay, you know, you're good. He'll lie to anybody and say, that's okay. No, God says what the standards are. God sets the morals. God sets the commandments. God sets the precepts. And God will watch over his word to perform it. If it's like the humanists say, then, you know, my life is reduced to weekends and wild parties and paychecks and quick thrills, and the bottom line is disaster. If man has no future, it's not worth much for any of us to be here. Therefore, man without a future is hopeless. There's no self-worth, there's no value, and there's no hope. But God wants us to understand the value of each and every one of our souls. A man is worth something because he is a person created in God's image, and they have an eternal soul. And your soul is of such value to God. Put Romans 8:32 up there. If you want to know how valuable your soul is, look at Romans 8:32. It explains it in a nutshell. Look at that. Romans 8:32, for he spared not his own son, but he delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That God loves you so much that he spared nothing to save you and to save me. A person is worth something. When the sun and the moon have fallen from the skies, when the silver sockets, when the stars have fallen out of their silver sockets, when time shall be no more, as the ceaseless, endless ages roll on forever and ever and ever, your soul and my soul will be somewhere. The only question is where. Will it be in the horrors of hell, or will it be in the splendors of heaven? Your soul is eternal. That's why the Bible says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why Jesus forgives, because your soul is eternal. That's why Jesus treated people the way he did. Your soul is eternal. The woman caught in adultery, he forgave her because her soul was eternal. The untouchable leper who had to cry out from a distance, unclean, unclean, Jesus touched him, cleansed him, and forgave him and healed him because his soul had eternal value. The lame man at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus healed him. blind Bartimaeus beside the roadside begging, Jesus opened his blinded eyes. But let's not forget this crook on the cross. If anyone ever was worthless, this man was. If anyone ever deserved to die for his sin, this man did. Perhaps that's why Jesus chose him, to show us what he thinks of the human race. So here we see the great drama of salvation. Jesus is dying for the sins of man. On one side, a man is rejecting him. On the other side, a man is repenting and believing in him. These two men were equally near to Christ that day. That's a picture of people that come into our churches. They were both near Christ that day. They were both wicked. They were both suffering. They were both dying. They were both in need of salvation. Yet one man rejected him and died in his sins, and he went to hell. The other man repented of his sins. He believed in Christ, and he was saved and went to paradise. What could this thief do to save himself? All he could do was to call upon the name of the Lord. But that's all it takes to be saved. He said, just believe in your heart that Jesus died, that he was your sin substitute. He took your sins off to the region of darkness, freed you from them. And he said, if you believe and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. If Jesus could save a thief while he was dying, surely he can save you and me. You know, the Bible says it's appointed unto man that wants to die, and after that, the judgment.
Yes.
I don't know if I have any real special gifts from God, but one gift God gave me was the ability to memorize rhyme, and sometimes I find myself making a lot of them. Tracy says, there's another one, Jerry. But I'll never forget the poem that was written by Alan Seeger. He was in World War I. He was a young soldier. And he wrote a poem, I Have a Rendezvous with Death. And it's very biblical. The Bible says it's appointed unto man but wants to die. And after that, the judgment. He said, I have a rendezvous with death at some disputed barricade. When spring comes back with rustling shade and apple blossoms fill the air. I have a rendezvous with death when spring brings back blue days and fair. And he fought that war, and he goes on and he writes the poem. And at the end of the poem, he said, and I, to my pledge word am true, I shall not fail that rendezvous. I want to leave you with one thought tonight, because God laid this heavy on my heart. If you should die tonight, are you living your life in such a manner that you know you would wake up in paradise in heaven tomorrow? I want everybody to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven myself. And I think we need preaching like this every so often to remind us of the great price that was paid for our salvation. What is life? Life is like a vapor. Shakespeare said, out, brief candle, life is but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage, and then is heard no more. Will I live forever? No. There's an appointment that all of us have with death, and you and I don't know that. And today is a day of salvation. And you and I both, all of us, we need to live our lives in such a way that if he should call for me during the night, that I will find him opening his arms wide to me and coming to escort me home to heaven. Let us stand. Hallelujah.
And
and forgiven because you were forsaken. And I'm accepted, you were condemned. And I'm alive and well, your spirit
yes, Lord.
Is within me.
Thank you so much, Lord.
You died.
Thank you for saving me, Lord.
Again.
I'm privileged, Lord, to preach your word, but more than anything, thank you for saving me, Lord.
That you, thank my you. King, would die for
I want us to come to the altar, and as an expression, we're coming to the foot of the cross. Hear him say,
it's true.
Because of that repentance, I say unto you, today you shall be with me in paradise. In original Greek, it reads like this: today I say unto you, you shall be with me in paradise. Today I say unto you, you shall be with me in paradise. Thank you, Lord.
That you, my King,
hallelujah.
Would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all.